Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sherry M., and I am gratefully recovered compulsive overeater from Wyoming. Today is Thursday, September 15th, 2022, and today we are reading from the Big Book, page 28, and we are unpacking the third paragraph. Today's readers are Freya H. and Jody E. The reference number for September 14th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 19,403. And the share ID for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 19,409. The OA preamble, Overeaters Anonymous, is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Debbie to read the 12 steps.
Good morning, everybody. It's Deb E. in Montana, and these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Oh, and I am a compulsive overeater. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And I will pass.
Thanks so much, Deb. And I'll now ask Wendy G. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, Wendy G. from Colorado, gratefully recovering. The 12 traditions. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. Number two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me serve.
Thanks, Wendy, so much. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 28, third paragraph. And I will now ask Freya H. to begin reading for us.
Good morning, this is Freya H. Am I being heard?
Yes, we hear you,
Excellent.
Freya.
Thank you. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive eater, bulimic and restrictor in Colorado. Page 28, the distinguished American psychologist William James, in his book, Varieties of Religious Experience, indicates a multitude of ways in which men have discovered God. We have no desire to convince anyone that there is only one way by which faith can be acquired. If what we have learned and felt and seen means anything at all, it means that all of us, whatever our race, creed, or color, are the children of a living creator with whom we may form a relationship upon simple and understandable terms as soon as we are willing and honest enough to try. Those having religious affiliations will find here nothing disturbing to their beliefs or ceremonies. There is no friction among us over such matters. Again, my name is Freya H., recovered compulsive eater, bulimic restrictor in Colorado, and this is such a privilege to get to read this paragraph and share on it because it is so it's so meaningful. I feel like this is kind of the ideas that are expressed in the chapter We Agnostics summed up into one little paragraph. And this follows, this description of what the solution is. You know, we're in the chapter, there's a solution. And so they just told us the solution is, having a spiritual experience. And so for people who might feel challenged by that, they're giving us hope here. And the hope comes from their experience. That's what it says in this paragraph. It says, if what we have learned and felt and seen, meaning our experience of this higher power, of this creator, of this God, is that God's available to everybody. And that to me is absolutely true. You know, and the humility here that, we're not here to convince anybody of anything. We are here to share an approach that worked with us. You know, when this problem that we had, this is the solution we found, and we want to share it with anybody who's interested. We're not here to shove down anyone's throat. We're not here to be holier than thou. We're not here to argue. You know, we quit the debating society. It's just so beautiful. And I have to say, one way that this has shown up in my own life is that I just don't feel the need to debate, especially about religion and spirituality. I just like absolutely, it's just like neutral territory for me. Like I feel totally open to what other people, you know, other people's conceptions, other people's practices, because I just feel like that is, you know, the nature of God is to be so infinite that how could it be captured by one person's conception or one set of practices? So I think one other thing I'll comment on and then I'll pass because I'd love to hear other people share is that it tells us that we have to be willing and honest enough to try, meaning if I don't want to have a relationship with God, God's not going to force it on me. But as soon as I, you know, crack open the door or just have a curious, you know, a gentle, curious approach to, huh, God, I wonder who you are. I wonder where you are. God is going to be there and it's going to show up in a way that I am able to conceive of. And then once I get through these steps, I'm encouraged to grow that conception. And but God's not going to overwhelm me with anything that I'm not ready for. So I think that's my time. Thanks for the opportunity, and I'll pass.
Oh, thanks so much, Freya. Perfect timing. And I'd love to take a lineup now of people who would like to unpack that paragraph. But first, I'd like to remind everyone that we value your experience, strength, and hope, and that we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day. So if you shared on Tuesday or Wednesday on any Vision for You phone meeting, we ask that you please hold back today. So please give me your name one at a time.
Lynn.
Melanie C. from Oregon.
Melanie C.
Wendy B.
Wendy B.
Lynn J.
Lynn J. And then I think I have Michelle.
J.
J. Thank you, Michelle. Okay, we have Melanie C., Wendy B., Lynn J., and Michelle J. Anyone else want to be added to this lineup?
Dana P.?
Dana P., good morning. All right, let's begin with these five. Great lineup. Here we go. Melanie C., you're up.
Hey, good morning, Shelley. Good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in Canby, Oregon. I was just writing on this yesterday as part of my daily reflections, and it was before I even read this particular paragraph because it's central to my whole life. I've struggled forever and ever about power, and moving it from my head to my heart has been most difficult, and I put a fair amount of effort into making sure that it stays in my heart because it likes to flit to my head all the time. And I was considering the idea that when they were writing this book, there was lots of conversation, spirited conversation about how they were going to approach this. And they knew then that it was going to need to be very, very broad because the atheists and the agnostics came forward to say, hey, wait, you know, we're sober, we're doing sober, we're getting this psychic change. And we too, you know, have this thing deep down inside of us, whether it be, you know, Mother Earth or a butterfly or whatever it is. It's a power that I can pass off to that's not me, but it's deep down inside of me. And that was so helpful for me because I was getting all tangled up throughout my entire time and even to this day about how to identify that. I had to break out of old belief systems around things that if you just move outside of this idea, then there are horrible things will happen to you. And I had to break out of that. That was difficult to do. I had to break out of ideas that I had the attention span of a gnat. And so to sit down and do any kind of praying or any connection to this sort of thing was just very, very difficult and required a lot of effort. And then I brought into the equation this idea that I'm not enough, I don't have enough, you know, and I'll never be enough. And I got lots of reassurance, you know, from fellows in recovery and pointing out the idea that, in fact, you know, that there is this love that's available to all of us at equal plane, and that I could then step out of the let me compete, you know, syndrome that I was in. Gosh, if I did it as much as this person did, that I could have this kind of relationship. But I took some notes down in my own big book that are in the margin here that I just wanted to read. That's reassuring to me. And it says, and Freya was talking about it, if I'm willing and honest enough to try, there is a simple, understandable way for me to form a relationship with a living creator, something that created Melanie just the way she is, and that was important for me, and that I will be able to be free and see this sort of situation and relationship. There is a way that faith can be acquired that we will look at in these steps, a process to go from belief to faith. And I needed to hear that because where I was at, I was very small, very critical, and it changed my life. With that, I pass.
Perfect timing. Oh, thanks, Melanie. Wendy B's up next, followed by Lynn.
Good morning. This is Wendy B, recovered in Arizona. And the line where it says, you know, all of us are the children of a living creator with whom we may form a relationship. And I mean, I'm just so grateful. It's just open to everybody. It's not, you know, a specific religion. It's not, you know, a specific way of being trained, you know. And for me, you know, there's just such a comfort in having a relationship with my creator, you know, who knows and loves me intimately. You know, he knows me inside and out, you know, what my motives are, you know, how I formed my thinking, my behaviors, and my attitudes. You know, he formed me in my mother's womb. He knew what attributes he wanted me to have. You know, he has a reason and a purpose for my existence. You know, he's a powerful and, you know, I forgot what the word, omnipotent or something, you know, he's running the world and all the events and all the circumstances. And I mean, this is a huge, huge world, you know, and he's running the whole thing. He's just got so much power, and he knows each person, you know, the millions and millions and millions of people that have lived on this earth and in the future. And I mean, he created each one, and you know, and he loves me. You know, it's just amazing. You know, he gets us to the place of acknowledging him and willing to yield to his plan. And, you know, and I can just relax and trust him, you know, that he's orchestrating things, and I can let go of the false illusion that, you know, for things to go smoothly, I have to control them, you know, and I have to force my solutions and my agenda on others. And, you know, that everything hinges on me performing perfectly, you know, and I get to accept that, you know, I'm just an imperfect human being, just like everybody else, and I'm not that important, you know, and success and failure doesn't hinge on me. And so I get to just, you know, shift that responsibility, that, you know, weight on me, you know, that it hinges on me when it doesn't. You know, it's all focused on God. And thank you so much for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Wendy B. And Lynn J is up next.
This is Lynn J, recovered compulsive overeater from Colorado. And I find this to be very comforting, that it is all inclusive and we do not discriminate, and that we are members when we say we are. I really like that. And I must say that there has been a period of time recently where I really questioned my higher power while recovering from a fairly serious injury. And it was such a difficult period of time that I thought, really, God, what, you know, I don't understand. And then as I continued to work the program, my faith returned. And I feel so grateful for that. And I realized that my Creator really was with me the whole time. Even though I had questioned him, he hadn't questioned me. He was there. And just the fact that I know that He is there with his loving arms surrounding me all the time. Brings a lot of security for me and a lot of safety. And all I have to do is turn to him whenever I feel the need for his strength in my life. And I think it's a miracle the way that works. Thank you for listening.
Thank you so much, Lynn J. And next up is Michelle J., followed by Dana P. Go ahead, Michelle.
Good morning, Michelle J., calling in from Arkansas. Oh, awesome paragraph. Variety of religious experiences indicate a multitude of ways in which men have discovered God. And that's the crux of this. It's the solution is there. Finding God, knowing God. So I just was zoomed back to 37 years ago when I was a staunch atheist. I used to put every religion to shame. I didn't care who and what they were. They were all just weaklings because I was 25 years old. I had abortions. I got marriages. I got divorces. I got a college degree. I am going to make it. I'm going to do this. And life crashed so hard that I said, either there's a God or I'm going to end it because I don't want to be here anymore. So I said, God, if you're there, help me find you. Okay, miracle happened. Let's take that little religious term out. Some bizarre thing happened. And then I said, I put a gun to my head, and I said, if you're there, you won't let me do this. I mean, the bullets were gone, but yet they were the next day. I mean, I'm stoned out of my mind at this point. You know, I'm with drugs and alcohol at this point. I'm like, God, you know. And I mean, within a very short period of time, God, the creator of the universe, the next paragraph before this, the loving hand of God powerfully and miraculously kind of, that term again, I'm sorry, the religious terms really bug me because you all are holier than thou. You all this, I don't speak your language. I don't think like you. I don't dress like you. But you see, God had a special journey just for me. And it was only a matter of months before I believed, went from an atheist to belief in the God of the universe. And when I did that, I just woke up the next morning after I had this little talk with him, and I was delivered of so many things. I didn't even know I had these addictions. I was 12 years into tobacco, into cussing, into drugs, into alcohol. All of that was just literally gone. And I went, oh my gosh, there's a God. And look what he did. And 37 years later, those things are all gone. But he leaves the other things. Why? Because I'm learning about him, my conception of him, my understanding of him for 37 years gets stronger and clearer and stronger and clearer. And it's through these difficulties. It's through, and I love the program, I've only been to the 12 steps for the past four and a half years, something like that. I am learning more and more about God, the creator of the universe, the loving hand of God. And he is helping me with all of my issues. And with that, I'll pass. Everybody have a great day.
Oh, thanks so much, Michelle J. from Arkansas. And Dana P. is up next, and then I'm going to take another lineup. Go ahead, Dana.
Good morning, Sherry. Thank you so much. What an awesome paragraph, an awesome 2 hours this morning on the first meeting. And this meeting, I just love, love, love this paragraph. And, you know, for me, it's a miracle, and it's miraculous. But it's not a miracle, but truly it's miraculous. And the thing is, you know, I keep trying to figure out what that is and what that means and understand this God thing. And I just keep making it more and more complicated. And the truth is that it ebbs and flows. This relationship that I have with this power greater than myself ebbs and flows. And it's kind of like a spigot, you know, the water spigot. And when I turn it off, it's not there. And all I have to do is do it. So it talks about trying. We try. Well, what is the trying? It's in the doing. And what is the doing? This book shares 12 steps. And that's how it works for me. My apologies. I'm in a noisy spot right here. So that's how it works for me. When I'm not feeling it, I need to turn back to what I've learned in this book, these 12 steps, and where am I disconnected? And, you know, it's so interesting, too, to me that I spend so much time trying out all these different religions. And essentially what I was doing was looking outside of myself for the answers outside of myself from another human being. And it didn't work. It hasn't worked. And the most interesting thing of it is that once I started doing these steps and working this program and got recovered, I found that my relationship with my higher power was really strong. And in so doing, returned to my quote-unquote religion. So the book talks about that too. You know, maybe religious people were right. So it's pretty miraculous developing this relationship that I have day by day. You know, sometimes it's stronger, sometimes it's not so strong. But I just continue, as the book says. And I'm going to pass with that. Thanks again.
Oh, thanks so much, Dana P. And before I take another lineup, if you're just joining us, we are reading from page 28 of the big book, and we have unpacked the third paragraph, starting with the distinguished American psychologist, if you want to grab your book. Okay, I'm going to take a lineup, and we ask that if you've shared on any Vision for You meeting on Tuesday or Wednesday, that you hold back maybe until tomorrow so others get a chance to share. Please give me your name one at a time.
Linda R.
Linda R.
Eunice L.
G. Eunice L.
Deborah G.
Deborah G. I knew I heard a G there. Perfect. Linda R., Eunice L., Deborah G.
Nirvana A.
Nirvana A. Give it another second here. See if anybody else wants to add. Anyone's maybe possibly unmuting. All right. Well, let's start with these four, and then perhaps we'll take some more names. Go ahead, Linda R.
Thank you. Good morning, and thank you. Linda R. recovered in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Thank you for your service, and thanks for everyone on the line today. So for me, you know, my cultivation and my quest to find a higher power source for me so I could effectively live this life that I'm living today, thank you, dear God, has been an exploration and experiential. So when I came into program, I came in 50 years ago. I've been working the steps for 50 years. And when I came in, I did believe in higher power. However, I believed in a very mystical, like a fantasy type of a higher power. And I would talk to this higher power even from the very young age. I remember from 4 or 5 years old, I had this connection, but it wasn't really what the connection is today through the years. And when I came into program, you know, my sponsor said to me, you know, I was really exploring this. And because I knew, you know, if I didn't, in step three, I decided, but then I really did not have a concrete example of what to turn a decision, but I didn't know what it really was, this higher powered source for me to give me that power back in 11. So I just didn't know. So my sponsor said to me, act as if, pretend, you know. And being I'm a very creative person, I would do a lot of fantasies with God and everything. And then, you know, as I got into the program, I started to really study the big book very early in the program. And I had a big book sponsor, and she told me, as we spoke, Linda, the one thing you're really lacking in your spiritual, you need to really enlarge spiritually. So what I did was, again, like I asked God, what should I do? Where should I go? And I was directed to my religion again. I studied that for a while. And I just started to really like go into more literature to get more concrete evidence. And then as I did that, I just started to grow. And then I'll tell you the truth. I don't even know what happened. But right now, I have such a communion with my own personal higher power that has really grown. And we're really close. And the funny thing is, when I was telling you when I was a kid, what my God was Superman. I used to love to watch Superman, and I would picture him wrapping me in his red cape and taking me away from the insanity of my family of origin. And I was recently in North Carolina this summer, and I went into a thrift store, and there was Superman standing there like a little figurine, and I started to chuckle. I bought it, and now I put it in my suitcase, and again, it's another little shtick of a God wink at me. So, it's, you know, for me, it's been very of the educational variety, and I hope one day at a time, God and I can just trudge the road of happy destiny. So thank you for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Linda. Next up is Eunice L., followed by Deborah G. Go ahead, Eunice. I think I heard the name right. Somebody with the last initial of L can star one to unmute to share.
Yes, this is Eunice L. I'm sorry, I pressed the wrong button.
No worries.
I want to thank you all for your service and thank you for this wonderful meeting and a vision for you, which I absolutely love. I had last year, I was on a relapse and I came back and I found this meeting, and it's just been wonderful. I wanted to make a short share by saying that the beauty of the passage is how in the past, I thought I always had to do things, and I had to do this, and I had to do this to make myself good, and I had to do so many things instead of finding the God within. The great creator was interested in my life, in my little life, in my little me, in my little food problem, and which is a big problem, but it wasn't. It doesn't seem like a big problem now because God is doing for me what I could not do for myself. And I didn't even recognize the other day, just Tuesday, a couple of days ago, I had gone to visit my daughter at school, and I was sitting in the cafeteria working on paperwork. And she asked, could she pick me up anything? I said, well, get me a bottle of water. And I sat there doing the paperwork, but I didn't realize until the evening that I was sitting right outside one of these confectionery stores that the kids were all lined up for, and it did not faze me. I didn't look at it. I didn't care. It just went past me entirely. I was so indifferent, and I recognized the freedom that being in letting God do for me what I couldn't do for myself just a few months ago, by staying in prayer, by staying in contact with him, with me, by staying in contact with God, how he it was just nothing, you know, just almost in indifference for that day. And it's been the same every day for months. So I thank program. I thank all of you for that. I above all thank God for his presence and caring for me and loving for me. And I've grown to love him more and more. Thank you very much.
Hi, Eunice. Where are you from, Eunice?
Oh, New Jersey. Eunice L. in New Jersey. Thank you.
Great. Yep, thank you. All right, next up is Deborah G.
Oh, thank you, Sherry, so much. Thank you for your service this morning, moderating, and everyone that's made this meeting possible, and all the shares already this morning. Thank you for 12-stepping me and waking me up and reminding me, and also welcome to all the newcomers. I'm so glad that you're here to have a new experience and not have to live like you may be living right now. And I have a friend, she's in another program, and she has like 36 years, I think, of sobriety, and she's an atheist. And that used to puzzle me. It used to puzzle me, how can that happen? And now I've grown to love it, because I'm learning myself through continually seeking, that there are many paths to recovery. And, you know, I love what she shares. She shares that the group, you know, is the power, because that's what I'm focused on, is that power, because lack of power is my dilemma. So I'm wanting to continue to connect
keep connected with power. And in that seeking, you know, it's been an inside experience, you know, connecting with nature, a tree, connecting with gospel sound, inside connecting, you know, connecting with somebody sharing about their experience, connecting, just staying connected. And also realizing from that, experience that that divine loving presence loves me so much. And I've grown to love that power, that presence, my breath that I breathe, all that, to love that. I love that. I feel loved. I feel that loving presence. And, you know, I'm one of those that wants to feel good because I know when I get into negative thinking or in a character challenge, or, you know, it doesn't feel good. And so just being able to have these experiences and being reminded, because I forget, you know, I go unconscious and then I wake up again, and it's just beautiful to wake up again and have that experience of bliss, you know, bliss with that power. Happy with that power, feeling it inside me, and being an inspiration to share that with other people, you know, off of that connection. Thank you so much. Have a beautiful, blessed day.
Thanks, Deborah G. And Nirvana A is up next.
Good morning, everyone. This is Nirvana A from California, recovering one day at a time. Thank you, everyone, for making this a Vision for You meeting possible. I listen every day, but I haven't shared for a long time. But this paragraph today really spoke to me, because I was born in an old spiritual philosophy, Zoroastrian, of like 4000 BC. And God was the creator of the universe and everything in it. There was God in it. And that was just too large for me. And then when I was growing up, there were friends who said, come join our path. We love you. If you don't, then you're not going to go to heaven. And then there was another group of friends who were saying, sorry, you know, you have to be born into this religion. We can't really help you. So I was really confused, like, what is the right path? Where do I find this God? And then when I joined OA, it gave me permission to have my own, you know, make up my own God. And so, like a lot of people have said, then you go back to your own roots of your own religion. So I went back to my own, the spiritual philosophy of the creator, where God is in the animals and the trees and everything and other people. And I try to see that, especially in people that I don't like. I just think there is a drop of God in them. So, you know, do like them. And then in this also, this paragraph, when Priya was reading it, it reminded me of the song of John Lennon's Imagine song. And then I would always think, why don't people really listen to this song or this paragraph, what it's saying, and just do that? And then now I just stop and say, you know what, I'm not going to preach to anyone. I just have to be that change that I want to see. And if we have more people joining this idea of, you know, we're all children of the creation, then maybe we're going to hit a tipping point and more people will join. And so with that, I pass, and I wish everyone an abstinent and blessed day. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Nirvana. We have time for a couple more names, so please give me your names one at a time. Who else would like to share today? Maybe two names.
CTT.
Katie T.
That was CT. I used my initial CT. I don't know if that was me. I was unmuting. Thank you.
Yeah, CT. All right, that's what I wrote down. CT. Okay. Anyone else? Okay, go ahead and start sharing.
This is CT. T from Southern California, Newport Beach. Sorry, I was unmuting. I know you know that deal. So nice to be on the meeting, and I've been listening for a long time. I used to share quite often, and not quite often, sometimes. But I just felt like I needed to listen because I was really having struggling with this whole connection with God. I've been in recovery for 28 years. I've been in OA for 18 years. And my God situation has ebbed and flowed, and I believed in religious deities. I believed in other things. But when I was about 6 years sober, I was always asking people, what's your sponsor have you do? And her sponsor said for step three, she wanted her to write a want-ad for God. And I thought, ooh, that sounds like a cool idea. So I started writing my want-ad for God. And, I got to describe whatever I wanted. And so, it was a person with a big lap and big arms and loved to share flowers and loved to dance and knew my daughter's God and didn't like to listen to country music because I didn't. And I got to describe it however I wanted. And that made it so much easier to turn my role in my life over to that God because I had described it. And then in about 10 years in OA, I was just really struggling with the whole God concept. A lot of things had happened. And I had an art studio, and a woman came in. She was a regular student, and she was not religious. We didn't talk about God we didn't talk about religion or politics in the studio. And somehow we got on spirituality, and she was like, this is my concept. And I fell in love with it, and it just helped me so much. And she said, I'm in Southern California. She goes, say you want to go to L.A. Say L.A. is God or your spiritual belief or recovery. Let's say the solution is L.A. She goes, there are so many ways to get to L.A. You can take a train. You can walk. You can ride a bike. You can go on the 22. You can go the 405. You can take side streets. Just get there however you can get there. And I was like, oh, that's brilliant. And so I started using that. Good morning. I started using that. And God, it just was such a salvation for me. And then again, I struggled with about 26 years. And I just didn't have the right name for God. Like, I felt like I had to have a name. And a girlfriend of mine who had I had gotten sober with, she drank after 18 years. And she didn't go to OA, but I continue to come here no matter what. And she came into Southern California and got sober again. And the other day we were talking, and she goes, I was talking to somebody about my God, and she struggled with a name thing too. And she goes, I just heard this word Judy. And so now she's using Judy, and I started saying Judy to her. You know, Judy will take care of everything. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's my name. So Judy is taking care of everything. And so my message here is that for me, the steps have been the solution. I hear that. My steps have been the solution, and my solution to the spiritual awakening is now called Judy. Thanks.
Thank you so much, CT from Newport Beach. And we have time for one more. Who would like to share?
Donna G.
Great. Go ahead, Donna G.
Hi, everyone. I'm Donna G, and I'm working on recovery. And I just wanted to thank everybody for this meeting today because I've got to tell you, it touched me today. I've been listening to Vision for You every day since the 2nd of January this year, and this meeting hit on me in a way that none of the other ones have. I don't know why, but it really opened up my heart and my mind to God. And I've been placing God, I think, in a too small a box, you know, and I've been just, he's what I've always grown up to see. And just hearing the different voices out there and their explanations and what they feel and what they think is really, I don't know, for whatever reason today, God reached in and touched my heart because, oh, wow. And, I don't know what else to say about it, but I just wanted to thank everybody and the group, I guess, should have been my higher power, but if nothing else, it's led me to God, and I thank you so very much. With that, I pass.
Thanks so much, Donna. Where are you calling in from today? Oh, she must be muted. Okay. We guess what? We have time for one more.
Florida.
Close us out. Oh, Florida. Thanks, Donna. All right. Who would like to close us out?
Noel J.
Great. Go ahead, Noel J. Good morning.
Hi, everyone. This is Noel J. in Arizona, recovering compulsive overeater. Yeah, I love hearing this about all of the different groups of people and all the different ways to connect with God, because what it makes me think of is, as my recovery grows, as my consciousness grows, I have the ability to reconceive of God all the time, however I need to. So as I began my recovery, God was the healer for me, and he's still the healer for me, or she, but I know that I'll be able to tap into all of the facets of God, all of the different ways God can manifest itself in me, through me, and through everyone in this group as I listen to everyone. So I just love that thought that it's an ever-evolving consciousness that is God, and it's ever-evolving through me and with me as I continue on my journey. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Noel. Does anybody have a burning desire to share for a minute today? Okay, well, that will give us more time for newcomers. So I will say that we are now going to close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, and then followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Jody E. please read A Vision for You?
Yes, good morning. Thank you. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Monterey, California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.